I mean, if his tractor, you know, I mean something simple maybe, but if his tractor had any problems, he took it to the tractor place. If his hay baler had any problems, he took it to the hay. I mean, he took it to someplace else to get somebody to fix it. And the reason he did is because he didn't know how to fix it himself. And the reason he didn't know how to fix it himself is because he never took the time to learn how to fix it himself. And that's not an indictment against him. It's just a simple fact. And you know, our spiritual lives, the lives that we live, are just like working on that farm. And the equipment that we have in our lives gets us through our life. And sometimes they break down. And we don't know how to fix it, so we run to get somebody to fix it for us. And they fix it for us, and that's wonderful to do that. But you know, every time my dad got somebody to fix his stuff, he had to pay him. He had to give them something to get it fixed. And in our lives, there are things that need fixing. But here's the key. You can fix them yourself if you know how to fix them. Now, it's wonderful to have somebody else to pray for us. And it's all right because they're helpers. But you know, it's our responsibility before God to learn enough that we can work our lives out. You know, Paul, writing one time, told the people that he wrote the letter to, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. He didn't mean to work it out to suit yourself. It wasn't like, decide what your salvation is. Now, what we need to do is to take what God has given us, and we need to learn how to implement it. I want to read you some scriptures and share with you a little bit here this morning. We're going to start in the book of Proverbs. You'd be amazed at some common sense stuff that you find in Proverbs. I mean, you know, some of the translations are not that easy to pick up on, but some of them are very, very good. To help us understand some basic principles of life. I started a message on Wednesday night, and then I didn't get to finish it up, so I thought I'd just finish it on Sunday morning. In Proverbs 24, verse 3, it says, through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong. Yes, a man of knowledge increases strength. For by wise counsel you will wage your own war. And in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. Let's go back to verse 3 and 4. Through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. Now, notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say, through desire a house is built, and by desire it is established. In other words, just because you want a house, and this is the example that he used here when he wrote this, just because you want a house doesn't mean you're going to get it done. Just because you decide, what if you decided tomorrow, and you're not a mechanic, but you decided you'd build your own car. Do you think that you would have any problems with your car if you didn't know anything? Looks like we need an electrician. Yeah, it was giving us a little problems. You turn on the one. Yeah, turn those on, Danny. All right. See, with a little light in here. See, there's a solution to your problems. You just got to know what it is. There's an example. If you've got a problem, there's a solution to it. But if you were going to put together a car, and you're going to do it from scratch, you never put one together, you didn't know anything about it, and you never were raised by somebody that did. You know, a lot of people had an advantage with their lives because they were raised by good people that taught them what they needed to do, and they paid attention. When I was in seminary, and some of you have heard me tell this before. Of course, I've been preaching here so long that you got to hear me tell stuff more than once. I don't have new experiences all the time. But when I was in seminary, there was a test that we all had to pass. It's called a Bible content exam. You had to pass the thing to graduate from seminary. And all it was biblical information. Not your idea about something, not your philosophy, and not your doctrine about something, just biblical information. And when I got there first year, if you call me a freshman or not, because it was just 4 years and you're out. But when I got there as a first year student, I heard these guys talking about this Bible content exam. And they talked about how difficult it was, and that you better not wait till you were a senior or your last year to take it, because some of them had taken it two or three times and hadn't passed it yet. These are seminary students taking a test over the Bible, and they can't pass it. And I thought, man, this thing must be hair-raising. What kind of questions they ask on this thing? And I thought, what do they have you do? You know, name all of the kings in the Old Testament, or, you know, remember what their children's names were? I mean, I thought this is something awful. Because there's so many people that were saying, you better start taking this so that you have time to pass it. Because the thing about it was, they had four different versions of it. They gave a different version each year, so you couldn't fail this one and then come back and take the same test next year. You had a different test over Bible content, four in a row. So if you stayed there 4 years, you were not going to get to take the same one twice. Different tests. And so I thought, okay, I'm first year. I don't want to wait around, you know, just in case. So I took it the first year. Went into the class, the test that day, sat down, started down through there, and I thought, one of the hard questions coming. When am I going to get to the point where I don't know these answers? And went right on through. And the thing about it was, it was 150 questions, and you had to get 75 of them right. I sat down and went through the 150, got done with them way before the time for the test to be up. Thought, well, I'll just go back over and look. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Checking the ones that I knew I had right. Got finished. I knew I had 120 of them right. Wasn't any question. And I was pretty sure about part of the other 30. So when I checked on the board after the tests were graded, there was my name, passed. I'm done, freshman. And you know what the difference was? I grew up learning that stuff. I don't ever remember not being in Sunday school, in church. And all that little stuff that's not going to amount to nothing, you know, that you learn as a kid in church. You don't know what you're having put into you. And along with that, you learn right and wrong, and you learn why this is this and why this is that. And you have an advantage. Where some of those people in those seminaries got saved. This is back in the 1971 when I started. So a lot of the ones that were there were the Jesus Movement guys that had spent all their life on the beach surfing or doing worse things. And then the Jesus Movement came along amongst the hippie generation, and they got saved and started serving God, and God started telling them to, you know, prepare themselves for ministry, and they started having a desire to tell other people about Jesus, and they didn't know anything about anything else as far as that goes, except just about Jesus. And so they started sharing Jesus. But you know what you find out if you go back and look? The ones of them that began to learn something developed and solidified and moved on and on and on and on. The ones that never got past just getting excited about Jesus ran up against things that they couldn't solve, and the devil overwhelmed them. Not because they didn't know Jesus, but because they didn't pursue Him. You can follow Jesus successfully or not successfully. But if you want to build your spiritual house, you've got to use wisdom to build it and understanding to establish it. You know what the difference between wisdom and understanding is? Wisdom is having the information to do what you need to do. Understanding is having the ability to use what you've got. Here's all the wisdom that anybody ever needs. But if you don't understand how to use it, the wisdom in this book won't do you a lot of good. You'll struggle. You'll want to serve God, you'll love Jesus, and you'll find yourself running up against all kinds of obstacles that you can't figure out how to deal with. And it's not because of a lack of a desire, and it's not even because of sin in your life. It's because we don't understand how to use what we've got. Let me ask you this. Just to make a point. When you buy something complicated, you know, it's got a lot of working parts to it or whatever. It's not just a little, you know, it does different things. It's got gears in it. It's got buttons to, it's kind of complicated. And you can't get it doing what it's supposed to be doing when you try to get it to do it. And I'm talking about right at the beginning, when you first get it. And you want to get it going and you're excited about it and you can't get it going right and it won't do what it's supposed to do. Let me ask you, what do you do at that point? Do you pick up the manual that came with it? Or do you throw it back in the box and take it back where you bought it and says, this thing won't work? Hello. Now God, through Jesus Christ, gives us a new life and we start trying to work it and it starts causing us problems and we don't know what to do. What do we do? Do we get in the manual and figure out what it is we need to know to make it work? Or do we pack it up and take it back to God and say, this don't work? You'd be surprised at how many people do that. But it's just easier. I want something that there's no problems to. If you want something that guarantees you that there'll be no problems involved, Here's what you do. Ask the devil to kill you before night. Then you go to heaven and there's no more problems. Apart from that, you can just write it down. There will be things that you will have to deal with before you have that experience. That experience, the experience of death, ends all your problems if you're a child of God. If you're not a child of God, they're just starting. Through wisdom, a house is built, and by understanding, it is established. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. God promised me that I could prosper, and I want to prosper. Well, wouldn't you say that prosperity would be having your rooms filled? By knowledge, the rooms are filled. Y'all have to excuse me for drinking this water. I'm a little bit dry. Hopefully not in the message, but in the mouth. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Wow. Think about it. Do you want an abundant life, a bountiful life? It's going to require just getting to know what there is to know. You know what the Bible tells us? Jesus said, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And He's going to guide you into all truth and show you things to come. Now, when He said He's going to show you things to come, I don't believe it's just a matter that He's going to reveal future events to you. I believe it includes showing you what's to come so you get ready for what's coming. You ever been to a doctor that he's a doctor because when he was a 10-year-old boy, he decided he's going to be a doctor? He didn't do anything else. He just, at that point, I'm going to be a doctor when I grow up. I'm going to be a doctor when I grow up. At 17, 18, I'm going to be a doctor when I'm finished. In a few years, I'm going to be a doctor. When I get to be, whatever it is, 28 years old, I'm going to be a doctor. And he just keeps saying, I'm going to be a doctor. And then when he's 28, he hangs up a shingle that says, Doctor so-and-so. And he has the strongest desire in the world, and he's self-taught. He's probably learned something, but he never went to school for it. He never really applied himself. He just did what he thought was appropriate. You find out about that, and you say, I'm sick, I'm going to go see him. You're going to say, oh, I'm not going to him. I'm not going to him. He's not put the effort into it that he needs. And so you don't go. You know, we need to look at ourselves and realize that if we don't allow the Holy Spirit to school us on what's in this book, it's a hit and miss proposition of whether we get stuff right or not. Because I'll tell you, just because you feel like something doesn't mean it's right. I got this feeling, well, doesn't mean it's right. Because there's all kinds of information out there. But what do you do when you know that there's all kinds of information out there? Look what verse 6 says. For by wise counsel you will wage your own war. If you expect somebody else to get you through the trials of life, you will fail. I didn't say help you with it. I said get you through it. There's some people that never seem to do a thing for themselves, but every time they get into trouble, they call somebody that they have confidence in to pray for them. Or will you help me? He says, by wise counsel, you will wage your own war. Here's wise counsel. The Holy Spirit is wise counsel. Anybody that believes this book and is committed to this book and committed to the author of this book and the one that this book is written about should be trustworthy. In a multitude of counselors, there is safety. In a multitude of counselors. When you have an idea about something, you say, well, I wonder if this is right. I heard so-and-so say it. Well, who else have you heard say it? You know, there's people that are following strange things because one person said it real loud and they heard it. Nobody else is saying it. But that one person said it real loud. He convinced them, and they're following them because they said it loud. When you look at your life, and you get counsel, you need a directed plan. That's why it helps to know what God's will is for you and His purpose for you. It helps to know that. Then you can plan around that purpose. Rather than just doing a bunch of stuff and saying, well, I'm going to see if it's a fit into anything that God's telling me. I look back at my life and I see how God used circumstances. He used circumstances to direct me, but the circumstances were in cooperation with counsel and with what I knew about Him. You see that in the Scriptures. You see that when God directed Abraham to offer Isaac, and he got ready to kill him, and he didn't kill him, and there was the ram with his horn caught in the bushes. That was a circumstance that God used to relieve Abraham and to provide Abraham with the sacrifice. Do you suppose it was just an accident that when Moses came floating down the Nile River in that little basket, that it was just an accident that Pharaoh's daughter was there in the river at that exact moment to find that little basket and to take it home with her and to raise that little fella as a grandson of the Pharaoh? Even though it looked kind of bad on the brothers, God wasn't caught off guard by Joseph's brothers throwing him in that pit out there and trying to get rid of him. When they got ready to kill him, that was their idea. Going to kill him, get rid of him. And about that time, a caravan of Ishmaelites came by. And one of the brothers had an idea. Hey, let's don't kill him. That won't profit anything. And we'll have blood on our hands. Look at that caravan coming by. Let's sell him to them. Did God know that caravan was coming by? Did God know that Jonah was going to run? And was it just perchance, just coincidence that great fish was out there waiting? That fish could have been anywhere in the ocean. But he was right over the side of the ship when they threw Jonah in. Circumstances. Sometimes it's God. And you can't, I mean, it had to be divinely arranged. Do you see anything as you look back in your life that was divinely arranged? It was a circumstance. You didn't expect it to happen, but it happened, and it was a change in course in your life. It might have been as simple as going to church somewhere. Just making a decision to go somewhere to church. I know that changed our lives. Ask this question, is the Lord showing me something through my circumstances? Now here's something you got to understand. Don't blame all your circumstances on God. Because God didn't create a lot of your circumstances. But can God use them? Yes. And we know, Romans says, and we know. Now that, you keep that thought right there. It'll be important a little bit later on this message. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and those who are called according to His purpose. And see, you got to have the Spirit of God. You got to have the understanding of the rest of the Word. Because if you don't, you'll do like some people and you'll grab that and you say, see, that says that everything that happens, God intended for it to happen to us. So then we relegate everything to God. If I got sick, God made me sick. If I had a car wreck, God caused it. Don't know why He caused it, but He caused it because, you know, it says all things work together for good. My little two-year-old baby got killed, and I know that that's going to work things for good. God had a reason for it. No. God did not put it in the heart and the mind of Joseph's brothers to kill him. But God used it to save their ornery hides on down the road. Counselors can also play an important role in finding God's will. People tell you stuff. But you know, counsel must come from a godly source. One thing you don't need to do, you don't need to get counsel from somebody else that can't get out of the same problem you're trying to get out of. Well, they'll understand what I'm going through. Yeah, they understand what you're going through, but they don't know any more how to get out of it than you do. If they did, they'd be out of it. If you're wondering, I don't understand why I don't prosper. I don't understand why I can't get this going right. I'm going over here and ask this so-and-so. They can't get it together either. So you sit down and you say, I don't know, brother, let's pray for one another. And I tell you, I don't know what God's got against us. And you sit there and you just go round and round. And I don't understand this. I don't understand why somebody's having marital problems wants to go talk to somebody else that's having marital problems. Well, I tell you what, my wife and I, or my husband and I, we can't get along. I know we can't either. Well, what do you think we ought to do? I don't know. I think we ought to just go out and shopping. Or I think we ought to go fishing. And problem never gets solved. Because they're not asking the right counselor. But I'm going to warn you this. Sometimes even the godless person can unknowingly give you the wrong advice. And for those of you that are advice givers, I'm not telling you not to do it. But what I'm going to tell you is this. Don't get overly zealous about solving somebody else's problem. Because what did it say? For by wise counsel you will wage your own war. You give the counsel, then you wage your own war. You take the information you got, you put it together, and you battle the enemy. And you win. But you might get good counsel from people, but still, it's your war. Your life is your life. It's not somebody else's. Now, before we close, let's go to James chapter 1. Now, I didn't say what time it's going to be when I close. I said before I close. Let's go to James chapter 1. And I know some of you look down at your watch and think, if he closes in the next 3 minutes, I'm going to faint. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom. Now that's where we started, wasn't it? We started with wisdom in that verse over there, Proverbs 24:3. Started with wisdom. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to you. Who gives to all liberally and without reproach, that means he's no respecter of persons, and it will be given to him. Lord, I'm asking you for wisdom. I want to be an auto mechanic. And Lord, I want the wisdom to be able to put this car together, take it apart, know what's wrong with it. I need the wisdom to do that, Lord. And the Lord says, go to a good mechanic school. And when you're done, you'll have the wisdom you need. Lord, I need the wisdom to be a good husband. Thank you, Lord, for that wisdom. Amen. Now I'm going to be a good husband just because I asked God for wisdom. God's going to have to do something to get that wisdom to you. Because I'll tell you what, as good as God is and as graceful as God is, He just doesn't seem to give us, except for salvation, He doesn't give us things for nothing. He expects a little cooperation on our part. Okay? You want the wisdom to be a good husband? Read what the Scripture says about husbands. Find somebody that's a good husband and find out what it is they're doing. If you're having problems being a good husband, if you're having problems being a good wife. There's all kinds of information out here. We just have to take the time to find it. And there's times when God will give you wisdom about stuff just supernaturally right out of the air by the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit will teach you all things. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Now what are we talking about here? We're talking about lacking wisdom. We're talking about lacking wisdom. That's the context of the Scripture we just read. Lacking wisdom. How many people have prayed to God for direction, and then when you got through praying, you didn't feel like you knew anything more than you did before you prayed? Yeah, I've been there. Let me remind you of a little scripture, Mark 11:24. Whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, you desire wisdom, you ask of God. That's praying, isn't it? Whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have it. So what do you do when you pray? Lord, I need wisdom about this thing. And you would pray, amen. Thank you, Lord. I know what I should do. What? The Lord told me He would show me what I should do. So therefore, I have the wisdom that I need to do this. That's what it means to ask in faith. That's what it means not to doubt. You can apply that to everything, but right here it's been applied to wisdom. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. So what do you do if you pray and ask God for wisdom and you doubt and you're like the... Well, boy, I don't know what to do about this. You don't. I thought you just asked God for wisdom. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I confess that I have the wisdom I need. A few minutes later, you're talking about it, and you said, boy, I wish I knew what to do. I thought you asked God for wisdom. Oh, I did. That's right. I believe that I have. That's being tossed. One minute you're saying, I believe that I have the wisdom. The next minute you're saying, I don't know what to do. I don't have an answer. I thought you just prayed and asked God for wisdom. So what do? You believe. Let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. That's in this specific thing. We're talking about wisdom. Well, I prayed and asked God for wisdom, but I didn't get it. Ta-da. How do you know you didn't get it? I don't feel like I got it. Oh, God's word rests on your feelings. Does God's word rest on our feelings? The word only works when we feel like it. It works because He said it works. It's true because He said it was true. If I ask for wisdom and I don't doubt Him by saying, well, I asked Him for wisdom, but I didn't get no answer. You know, I had this picture in my mind one time, and it might help you. I had this picture of somebody that they asked God for something. They went before God and they asked Him for something. And while they're waiting for it, you wouldn't need any faith if you got everything as quick as the words come out of your mouth. So you ask God for something, and here they are. They ask God, God dispatches it. It's in the process of getting there. The angel's coming with it. So here comes the angel down the street with this package, what they asked for. They're coming along, and it takes him a little while to get there. And just as he gets ready, and he makes the turn, and on that corner is where the person is. And when he turns the corner, he hears the person say, well, I asked God for it, but I don't think it's coming. An angel stops, and here's this little, bring it back. Well, I'm going to try it again. Lord, I ask you for blah, 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 blah. And I thank you for it. Okay. take it to him. All right, well, you know what's going to happen, don't you? Well, I just don't see why God's taking so long. I don't think I'm going to get it. Oh, bring it back. When we can get him in line with us, we will take it all the way to him. But until then, he is just yo-yoing himself out of it. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. What's that mean? Double-minded man believes, doubts, believes, doubts. Unstable in all his ways. Purpose for your life. That's the first thing you need to believe God for. What is my purpose? Why am I here? What is God going to do for me? God, I'm asking you that. I want to know. And I thank you for the answer. Amen. And whenever that question comes up, remind yourself and the devil and God that you have the answer because God's faithful. You have the answer. One other illustration. Years ago, right after, well, I guess this was 1975. And we left the United Methodist Church and bought a mobile home, moved to a hillside there in Cardin, Kentucky. Going to work out of a church. At that time it was called Sheep Shed. Now it's called Covenant, New Covenant. And we didn't have any guarantee of anything except that we knew that we knew that's what God told us to do. And we moved into that mobile home and God supplied our needs, sometimes miraculously. But it was a tremendous time. And I look back and we were only there. I mean, it seems like, to me, and I know it to her, it seemed like we spent a lifetime there. We were there 18 months. And that was 18 months that we were there. Changed the rest of our lives completely. Now, I don't know where we'd be, what we'd be doing, had we not submitted ourselves to that calling and put everything about us on the table. And my dad had signed a note at the bank back when things were simple. Just go in there and say, I'd like to borrow some money. Okay. Your dad going to say, he signed for it and I got the money. It wasn't much, $500. But it was coming due in August. Gonna have to pay in August. And when he found out what we'd done and how we moved and got all the information, he said, "What are you going to do about that loan?" I said, "I'm planning on paying it." He said, "How are you going to pay it? You said, well, you don't even have any income. You know, I mean, you don't. What you do? You, how are you going to pay that?" I said, "God's going to provide it." I have the money to pay that note. Well, I hope so. I said, just wait. As soon as he quit, take one step away, heard this little voice in my head saying, you're crazy. What do you mean you've got it? If you've got it, show it to me. I don't have to show it to you. All I have to do is know I've got it. And that went on and on. And a couple of months, got to be August. And I'm still saying, I've got the money to pay that note. And I'm still hearing, where is it? If you've got it, where is it? I don't have to tell you. And one day I went out to the mailbox, and there was a letter in the mailbox and a return address up on the corner, and I didn't even have any idea who these people were. Never met them in my life. I thought, what's this about? So I opened the letter, and there was a little note in there, and there was a check folded up. And I didn't look at the check. I looked at the note, and it said in there, this note, we just sold some property, and we were wanting to give her tithe, wanted to give some to the Lord. And we kept praying about it, and your name kept coming up. And I know that that you don't know us, but we know of you. We saw you once in a service somewhere. And after we prayed and we got this amount, and then after we prayed about it again, and I thought, wait a minute here. We're not talking about $10 or $15 if you got to pray about it again after you get the amount. But we prayed about it again, and we really believe this is what the Lord told us to give you. And I thought, I know what it is. It's $500. I opened the check. And if you'd have been my neighbors, watching me out there in my front yard, you'd have thought I got bumblebee stung or snake bit. Because I had me a spell right there in the front yard. Glory to God. And I ran in the house and I said, look here, Laverne. It wasn't for $500 that I owed at the bank. It was for $1,000. And buddy, you know, I'm telling you something. 1975. $1,000. Well, it was 76 by then. 75 when we moved to down there. But in 1976, $1,000 was a whole lot more than it is now. Hallelujah. And God said, there's your money to pay your note. I want you to give me 250 of it. I'll show you what to do with it. And then you can take the other 250 and do whatever you need to do. Well, that's a pretty good deal. But see, I don't know what would have happened if I'd have ever got to a point where I said, I just wonder, I don't know if that's coming or not. Now, you can call that a name it or claim it if you want to. I call it just being sure of what you believe. If you believe something, don't back down from it. if you know it's from this book, if your counsel is good on it. Because when you do that, you're going to see your life start to flourish. It comes because we have learned how to do what we need to do. You know. 10 o'clock Tuesday night, you're at home, you and your wife start having an argument. You and your husband start having, the kids go, "Oh God, Brother Jerry, can you come over here? Straighten this out." How am I going to straighten it out? I can counsel you. But you got to wage your own war. And I don't mean the one with your spouse either. What you got to know is, wait a minute. We're one. It's the devil that's trying to get in between us. It's the devil that's trying to stir this up. Now, what am I doing to help him? What am I doing to help him? You work it out. You figure it out. You get it done by the help and the grace of God, because we have the information and we know how to use it. Let's stand.